After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Now, what he refers to after these things, remember that as we left off in chapter 14, Abram had rescued Lot from the kings who had come in and spoiled the south lands of Israel and Syria along the way. And he gave them back. He captured the spoils and the people and returned them to their homes. After those things, the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Now, I am aware that we looked at some of this not long ago, but I didn't want to skip over it in our series just because we looked at it recently. The steward of my house, this Eleazar of Damascus, in other words, God, I want a son. The person whom I've given all of my empire to, willed it to, who's going to take over eventually, is Eleazar. And I want a son. Verse 3, Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, lo, one born in my house is mine heir. This man was born in my house, but he's not my kid. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. He that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he says, So shall thy seed be. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That's the key. It's the key. When I talk to people about the Lord and they've lived a hard life, and how can God forgive me? Until they can believe the Lord, it won't be accounted to them for righteousness. Until they can trust Him with what He has told us, what He told us. If you don't believe this book, I can't help you. That's what this is all about. It's about the Word of God. His faith was counted to him for righteousness. In verse 7 and 8, Abram asked for a token of assurance. And in verse 9, he said, Take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. He took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And I love that verse, and you know I do, because we need to know there's going to be some buzzards come along and try to steal our blessing. There'll be some vultures coming along and try to steal our promise, to steal our faith. And there'll be, whether it's in our imagination or whether it's real attackers that come to us and they try to draw us away from God. And they're buzzards, they're vultures. And Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, deep sleep fell on Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. God said to Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. As God is making a promise to Abram, he says to him, You cannot expect that the generations that follow will be without conflict. The generations that follow will have a struggle. Verse 14, Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation thou shalt come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So there's a plan. There's a plan. And God is telling Abram, there's a plan. These things are going to happen. It came to pass in verse, you know, so when you consider the days of Joseph and going into there for the famine, when you consider how his people came down, remember, they came down and stayed in Goshen. They lived there, and then 400 years later, they came out. And people say, well, they never should have gone. But God said it was going to happen. And there's some things we can't control. There's some things we can't change about God's calendar. Now, there are some things about life that God has not controlled. He has not ordered. And most of life is that way. And so we look to Him to order our steps, and so we can walk in obedience. But there are some things on God's calendar that cannot be changed. I will not accept the idea that sin is part of God's plan, because it's not. There will be people who will say, well, it was His time when people die. But I want you to understand something. There are people who die untimely deaths outside of God's order. They're early for their appointment. And I'm around it enough and familiar with it enough that I can say that with no reservation. There are people who meet an untimely death. And so our part, we have a part in determining that day. There is an appointment, but you'll be early if you're not careful. Verse 17, it came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. That's God. That's the light of God. As I study, I understand that the tradition of this day was to make a sacrifice. It was to divide these animals as a sacrifice and to lay them, as it says here, one side against another. And so there's room then for someone to walk between it. Who walks between that? Well, ordinarily it would be God and Abraham walking between it. But see, this promise was not a promise that Abraham was making. This was a promise God was making. You know, when it comes to salvation, we have to choose to be saved. But God has committed Himself to our salvation. And Jesus died on that cross for our sins. He committed Himself to our salvation. Here He committed Himself to Abram's inheritance, to Abram's heritage, to the generations. In chapter 16, we skip over and we find that there was a child. Verse 1, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. It's God's choosing, she said. And that's not uncommon. That was their impression whenever they didn't have children, that it was God that was holding her back. I pray thee, go into my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. I may obtain children by her. When the child was born, the child would become Sarah and Abram's child. Even though his mama is right there. But the child would become their son. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. I hope that if we read this, we'll understand that not every decision or every recommendation should be accepted. Even when we love our wife, even when she says, you go ahead and do it, you better mind yourself and make sure you're right. Has your wife ever told you, go ahead? And that's what she told him, go ahead. And it was her plan. Verse number 3, Sarah, Abram's wife took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You see, all the sudden attitudes changed. I would submit to you that the attitude had probably changed long before that. But no doubt, at this point, there was a change. And Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Abram, it was my idea. I told you to do it. I am the one that made it happen, but it's your fault. And that's how people are. And it doesn't matter how much we've resisted or how much we try to talk them out of it. When we become part of other people's sin, they blame us. Understand that as a Christian. And the Bible says they will think it strange that you run not with them. But if you run with them, they'll blame you. If you run with them, they'll think it stranger. So don't participate in people's sin. Even if it may not be your downfall immediately, it will eventually be a problem. Verse 5, Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid to thy bosom. When she saw that she conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said to Sarah, Thy handmaid is in thy hand. Do to her as pleaseth thee. Sarah dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. So Abram says, this is your decision. This is your responsibility. It was your idea. You handle it. And let me just say that we need to make sure we put responsibility back on people. Sometimes we'll take responsibility with our children. They'll do wrong and we'll take care of it. But we need to put it back on them. When it comes to employees, sometimes they'll do something that messes it up. And what we do, we try to take care of it. No, we got to put it back on them. People can't grow if we don't give them responsibility and let them work out their own problems. I was listening to Bill's testimony this morning. It reminded me of a video I saw sometime, and it was talking about a butterfly. It might have even been this morning I saw it. And it said that little boy had a caterpillar, and that caterpillar was his friend. And then one day that caterpillar climbed up on a branch and started making a cocoon. And then he was in that cocoon. And then however many days later, he notices that butterfly, that caterpillar was trying to work its way out because it had become a butterfly. And he went and got some scissors, and he thought, I'll just help that butterfly out, and I'll cut him out of his cocoon and set him free. And somebody stopped him and said, no, the struggle is part of it. And the more the butterfly struggles, the stronger he'll be. And the more beautiful his wingspan will be. And so while we're trying to take people's troubles away and trying to give them shortcuts, it's not helping anybody. And rather than Abram saying, don't worry, dear, I'll settle it, I'll take care of it, he said, look, she's your handmaid. It was your idea. You deal with it. Well, Sarah had a bad attitude also, and she dealt with Hagar. Even though it was her idea, she put it now on Hagar, and she dealt harshly with her. And Hagar left. It says she fled. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain. Who is the angel of the Lord? And I submit to you, it's no other than Jesus here. He says, he found her by a fountain in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur, and said, Hagar, whence camest thou? Whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel, the Lord, said to her, return and submit thyself. And the angel, the Lord, said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And the term Ishmael means God shall hear. And he'll be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now you look here, and you have to understand that. We've got two lines of people here coming from Abraham. One is Ishmael, the Arabs. And one is Isaac, the Jews. And that's what we got. And what? They all still dwell there together, don't they? But God made a promise to Ishmael. God made a promise to Hagar for Ishmael's behalf. And later makes a promise to Abraham on Ishmael's behalf and says he will be blessed. And you look at the Arabs and the Jews, and I know that there are, in any group of people, there are some rabble-rousers and some who never quite find their way or find their success. But you look at the Arab people, and they're successful people. You can't deny that. And just as the Jews are successful, and God has blessed both lines, we can't deny that. Now, one, of course, and think about this promise, that God promised that they would be blessed, and even in their disobedience, even in their arrogance and disobedience, God has still blessed both lines. Because He promised Abraham. We can accept God's promises as what they are, even when we don't deserve them, even when we work against them. God kept His promise. And so it says there, Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Now I know we've got one more chapter here, chapter 17. I just want to get here and express to you. In verse number 2, God said, I will make my covenant between me and thee. Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. So we see Jesus walking. And I know that the presence here, it says it was a lamp that was going between those two. And so is that the light of God? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the Shekinah glory? Either way, it doesn't matter. It's God in His presence between the altar there. And then now here we see Him again, Jesus, talking to Hagar as a man, the angel Lord talking to Hagar. And now again we see God. God was all in this. He was there. He was working it out. And let me just say, you know, there are a lot of times people will argue about the dates and the ages of people. And they'll say, well, 100 years didn't really mean 100 years, or 900 years didn't really mean 900 years. But remember that the flood changed the 900-year status, and now we're dealing with people that are 100 years. And when the idea that Sarah would conceive being 99 years old was laughable to them. The ages that we're talking about are true years. They're true ages. They're not made up numbers. They're not fallacy. They're real. And don't try to misinterpret the Bible. It'll just do you harm. Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. Verse 3. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. The covenant was not with Ishmael. The covenant was not with Isaac. The covenant was with Abraham. And this promise that God made to that one man, he has kept. Then he changed his name in verse 5. No longer Abram, but now Abraham. Father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. God defines us from the land, from the great river in Egypt to the Euphrates. And that hadn't changed. I know other people are living there, but God covenanted that land for Abram and his people. And so I know they're squabbling over just a little piece of land, but when God made this promise, it was from the Nile to the Euphrates. He brings up here in verse 9 circumcision. The removing of the flesh, the foreskin in verse 14. God said, verse 15, unto Abram, is that for thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. So he changes her name from God is the prince to princess. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. I will bless her, she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Abram fell on his face and laughed, said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Understand something. Even though there was some friction, that was still his son. And his prayer was that God would accept him. God promised him a son through Sarah. Verse 19, God says, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And then in verse 20, he rehearses again the promise that he's made. He says, I have heard thee. As for Ishmael, behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left talking with him. Look at this phrase. And God went up from Abraham. There's no doubt. The presence, the physical bodily presence of God, talking to Hagar, talking to Abraham, and the Bible tells us that the physical manifestation of God is Jesus. Don't forget, God said, let us make man in our image. So Jesus had the form before we had the form. God had the form before we had the form. Now in the Old Testament, they didn't refer to Him as they did in the New Testament. But it's still Him. He didn't change. He's still God.